Turn with me in your Bible to the book of beginnings in Genesis, and continuing our time together and our study, thinking about purpose, why we were made, and some of those relational aspects and creative aspects of life that we've been looking at, like love and relationships and God's glory and those kind of things we can see in our purpose. Today, I think we have one that, I don't know, I think it escapes us sometimes. And seeing it certainly escapes us, seeing it sometimes as one of the reasons that we were made. And today we're talking about work. We were actually created for work, to work, made with this purpose in mind by our good and gracious God. And what we're going to look at today is Genesis 1. 26 through 31. So let's go ahead and read that first together and then just kind of think about this issue and aspect of life. Genesis 1, 26. Then God said, "Let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth." So God created man in his own image, and in the image of God, he created him, male and female, he created them. Then God blessed them, and God said to them, "Be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and subdue it. Have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the air and over every living thing that moves on the earth." And God said, "See, I have given you every herb that yields seed, which is on the face of all the earth, every tree whose fruit yields seed, it shall be food for you. Also to every beast of the earth and to every bird of the air and everything that creeps on the earth, which there is life, I have given every green herb for food." And it was so. Then God saw everything that he had made, and indeed it was very good. And so the evening and the morning were the sixth day. Let's go ahead and pray together then. And let's just ask God to really open and prepare our hearts as we think about this aspect of work in our lives. And are definitely God's creative purpose. Lord, again, thank you for your creative genius and wisdom as seen and communicated to us by you. And we can see these things in our lives as we think about your truth. And we can see the connection to the both joys and problems in our life. We can see the success that we have when we live according to your word and according to your principles and according to your purpose. And we can see where problems enter in when we get off track. Let's just pray today that we would be able to grow a little bit. Just to take a good positive step in the right direction of Christ's likeness and thinking about work this morning. And that you would just really give us openness of heart. Help us to make these things practical and personal in our own lives. And God, let us today see your glory and see your goodness in the way that you have made us. In Jesus' name, amen. Work. God made man to work. There's a word in here that we're going to come back to and several times, and he uses the word dominion. Have dominion, it says right off there. Now, what I want to do right off here is, you saw that God gave Adam some tasks there. Now, we're going to look at from Genesis 1, which is the overview of the creative work of God. We're going to skip over to Genesis 2 now, which is more, funnels it down to more of some of the specific things that happened when God was creating that first week. And so keep this in mind that this Genesis 2 account, we're going to start at verse 15 here, is that this is the same day, the same week, but it's just more of a detailed account of the things that he gave us an overview of in Genesis 1. So in Genesis 15, it says, "Then the Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to tend and keep it." And so the progression goes just like this. God took Adam and he formed him out of the dust. He is making Adam into his special creation, as we saw a couple months ago, and being able to bear God's likeness. That's right in that passage we read, right? And then God breathed the breath of air into Adam. And then God took Adam and he put him into the Garden of Eden and immediately gave him a job. Isn't that interesting? He didn't have to go out and apply for it. He didn't have to prepare his resume, right? You know, I would love to have that job. I'd like to be the guy that keeps the Garden of Eden, right? No, that was what God had made him for. See, he was prepared for this great job. And look at Genesis 2:19 then. The very next thing that God does is he makes some animals and all these things, and he gives Adam another job. Out of the ground, the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every bird of the air and brought them to Adam to see what he would call them. And whatever Adam called each living creature, that was its name. So Adam gave names to all the cattle, to the birds of the air, every beast of the field. But for Adam, there was not found a helper comparable to him. Again, this is Adam's job. Now, was God fully capable of naming all the animals and telling Adam? Of course he was, right? But it wasn't the point. The point was he made Adam to have dominion. He made Adam to work and to be a caretaker of the things that he had made. And so it was Adam's job to name these animals and to do God's will here. You are made to work. You are made to work. You are made to fulfill God's creative purpose in your life, to glorify Him. And that means then that you're a servant. You are a servant. You are made to serve. You are, in a way, a slave. That's not that good of a message today, is it? If I was just to say to any person, look, you're a slave. We buck against that, don't we? I don't want to be a slave. I don't want to be a servant. I was thinking about this week, and I think about who are the people in our society or the positions in our society that are made much of? Isn't it the leaders? Isn't it the people on top? Isn't it the ones that tell everyone else what to do and get served? Right? Isn't that interesting? Isn't it interesting to you that even in the idea of having to be a slave or a servant is just really foreign to us? We hate it. Why would that be? Why do you think that is? It's very interesting to me. And it goes right to the core of what we're going to talk about today. The reason that we as people and our society make much of those who have material possessions and tell everyone else what to do, and the kings and the rulers and the pretty people that have all the money or whatever, is because really that's the lifestyle everyone thinks they want. I want ease. I don't want to have to do anything. I don't want to have to worry about things. I want money. I want position. I want prominence. I want all those things. And that's not the way that we were made. You see, we were made as servants. We were made to work. We were made to serve God, to be His slave. The dominion issue, we're going to come back to that. But did you notice that God made them to have dominion? And that really means that they were made a caretaker of God's world. It's a stewardship issue. And again, we're going to come back to this. So you can think about it in your own life, that your work, the things that you do, that is a stewardship issue. It is a governance that's God's gift to you to be able to manage and to work the way that He designed you to work. We'll come back to that, the dominion issue, and see that in verse 26 and 28 there of chapter 1 particularly. You know, God said, let us make man in our image, let them have dominion. And again in 28, be fruitful, multiply, and subdue the earth and have dominion over it. And subdue the earth. And this is really important. I don't know if we'll spend a lot of time on this, but we probably will come back to it a little bit. The dominion issue, just to hear this morning, and I think it's all woven throughout the way that we were made and the problems that we have. The dominion issue does not mean that we are given license to use and abuse the earth for our own pleasures. It doesn't mean that we are to just take advantage of people and resources and all of that for our own pleasures. But it's a stewardship. God wants us to be good managers of the things that we are over, and so we use them wisely. And it's upside down in all sorts of ways today, isn't it? People just use the creation for themselves, and they ruin it. Or it's upside down the other way, where we want to save a frog and don't care if every person dies and doesn't have enough food. Isn't that crazy? Dominion gets the creation gets dominion over people in any of those ways. It's just upside down the way that God made us to live. He made us to be caretakers and to use the things that he has given us for our good and his glory. And that's what it means to have dominion. Now, turn with me to Genesis 3. Because we're just starting out thinking about this. We're made to work, and then there became a problem. And, you know, I'm not sitting up here saying that, hey, I'm the one guy that gets this either. This is difficult for all of us, but there's hope, and we'll see this at the end. There's hope in Christ. What happened is, why now the dominion issue is upside down, and why we have trouble with work, and why really we hate work, is because of the curse of sin. The fall came, and it affected this issue of our life, this area of our life, in so many different ways. So let's look at this verse in Genesis 3:14. Just an overview, God had given Adam and Eve the one command, do not eat of the tree, of the fruit of the tree, of the knowledge of good and evil, and they disregarded that. And we're not going to talk a lot about that, but just that is when they chose to serve themselves, to listen to the serpent instead of obeying God. What happened then is we call the fall. They fell into sin. Now look at the pronouncement here. That's the most important thing as it goes to work here in 14. Because you have done this, the Lord said to the serpent, because you have done this, you are more cursed than all cattle and than every beast of the field. On your belly you shall go and you shall eat dust all the days of your life. I will put enmity between you and the woman, between your seed and her seed, and he shall bruise your head and you shall bruise his heel. To the woman he said, I will greatly multiply your sorrow and conception. In pain you shall bring forth children, and your desire shall be for your husband, but he shall rule over you. And Adam, he said, because you have heeded the voice of your wife, because you have eaten from the tree of which I commanded you, saying, you shall not eat of it. Now look at this.